As you remain standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon. Actually, just an introduction to the Psalms of Ascent, Psalm 120. I'll read it in your hearing. A song of ascents. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. My soul has dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the hearing and the application of His word among us. You may be seated. Well, this introduction to this sermon is actually an introduction to the Psalms of Ascent. That's what this is. Brief, I hope, I plan today. This is what we're going to do. A little bit of a, what are they about? A little bit of the history of how they might have been used, as well as a sturdy recommendation for you to not just get into them, but to let them get into you. So what are they? Let's begin with that. What are they? I gave you a sermon outline thing. It's just blank. You can fill it in with these points or with appropriate drawings. If the children do that. Matter of fact, I already received one drawing today. Just lovely. So a collection of these. What are they? What are the Psalms of Ascent? They are songs. They can be called songs of ascent, or sometimes they're called songs of degrees. Songs of degrees. Not as in temperature, but as in elevation, degree, or angles. Songs of ascent going up are songs of degrees. Okay? They are the 15 Psalms which are numbered 120 through 134 in our English Bibles. Usually, your Bibles have a heading. A song of ascents, or a song of degrees, okay? What are they? They are songs and they are prayers. They are sung prayers and prayed songs. That's what they are. You know, by the way, this is more for the children. By the way, I'm going to ask anyone here, what's another name for the book of Psalms? You can answer, you can speak out. What's another name for the book of Psalms? What's that? Psalter. What's that? Okay, songs, that's right. What's another? Psalter, that's right. Psalter. Now, when I was a young man, that was an odd term to me because I was thinking of salt and pepper. But it's P.S., so it's a Psalter. Spurgeon referred to these 15 songs of degrees as a little Psalter within the Psalter, or to use Noah's terminology, a little songbook within the larger songbook. Okay, because that's a psalter is actually a songbook for use in worship. That's what it is. A few of these psalms are considered as authored by David. One of them is considered historically to have been authored by Solomon. So we've got different time frames going on. David and then his son Solomon. And a number of them do not even list an author of the sort who would have used a pen or a stylus. Just a lot. But they're all for the people of God. They're all for us. Okay? Now, while these are brief psalms, they do not include the shortest psalm in the Bible. Does anyone know what the shortest psalm in the Bible is? You can just raise your hand if you know it. Okay, you know it. Anybody else? Okay, good. Ooh, I see that hand. Okay, good. All right. You find out, get back to me later. One of them is actually fairly long. The 132nd of this collection is fairly long, but they're mostly short, mostly brief. And some people look at them like the one we read today, and they think, what kind of a beginning song is this? It's kind of rigid or raggedy. It's just odd to begin by singing in my distress, and I don't know where Meshech or Kedar happen to be. I don't know anything about a broom tree. Don't know that I've ever seen one. So there's oddities to these psalms to us. But they're brief. They kind of just hit you and you're done. this collection of songs, this collection of psalms, actually follows this collection of short psalms follows the longest psalm in the Bible. The longest psalm being Psalm 119. Matter of fact, Spurgeon, again, he likened the 119th psalm to a large landmass, a continent. And he then spoke of these short psalms, this little psalter within the psalter, as little islands. And this is what he said: "Suddenly we have left the continent of the vast 119th psalm for the islands and islets of the songs of degrees." So we've left the large one and gone to the shorter ones. So, by the way, I'd like to make a point about the long and the short of it right now. The long and the short of it. Because as Christians, we sometimes get stuck on one side and we lack a fluidity of the balance that comes through maturity. As a matter of fact, here's an example of it. Some people think that the only way to be properly in devotion to the Lord is through solitude. Because they'll look at Jesus and say, Jesus was in solitude. Sometimes he'd go away and pray. But they also forget that there were times that Jesus was in a large community or a large gathering of people. Sometimes a small gathering of people. So sometimes people will, and then other people will look at it and go, well, the only way I can ever be fed and faithful and fruitful is in a gaggle of people. Well, Jesus did both. And we need to be careful about getting stuck on one side of the shoebox or the other. Saying, proper devotion is only in solitude, or proper devotion is only with a gaggle of people. Jesus' example allows for both, and that's good holiness. Well, with the Psalms and our devotion, here's the long and the short of it. There are times when you need, when we need, to spend a great deal of time, deep time, dedicated time, long times, extended times in devotion and meditation. Thus, Psalm 119. Oftentimes, just about the Word of God. Other times, and Spurgeon pointed this out as well, he rightly pointed out there are other times when we derive great benefit from a direct, shorter, abbreviated, pointing to a pointed type of meditation and devotion. Thus, these Psalms of Ascent. By the way, sometimes you're weary. And I thank God for these times of immediate devotion. That's exactly what I needed. So hopefully, as I go through this, I'll be able to give you some short, pointed sermons as we go through some of these sermons. Just hitting the point and get on with it. Okay? All right. By the way, Spurgeon called these sacred brevities. It's a nice term. All right. How were they used? And again, this is somewhat of an introduction. How were they used? Well, remember this. They bear the title Songs of Ascents or Songs of Degrees. And because these bore this title, historically considered, it was thought that they had a particular use, that this little psalter within the psalter had a particular use. So how would they have been used? Okay? Other than as songs and prayers, and as fabulous guidance in devotion and godliness, we do not know with absolute certainty how they might have been used. We don't know. There have been some great suggestions, though, some odd suggestions as well, and I will spare you the odd suggestions. Okay, if you want to talk about those later, maybe I'll... Matter of fact, some of these that I give you today, you might think are odd. Okay. There are a number of interesting suggestions. I'm going to give you four today, and I think one of them actually fits with the Old Covenant structure and system and also allows for there to be a fulfillment in the New Covenant. That'll be the fourth one that I give you. So here we go. Let's begin with the title. In Hebrew, they are, in English, we translate it Songs of Ascents or Songs of Degrees, or Songs of Goings Up. Goings Up. That's what it is in Hebrew. Same thing in English. Good translation. Okay, let me help you. I'm going to show you so you understand. If I'm down here, I'm going to ascend the stairs. Okay? And if I was singing while I was ascending the stairs, you could say, hey, that's a song of ascent. I just ascended the stairs. Okay? Or songs of degrees. I'm at a particular degree or an angle from the lower elevation here. And if I was singing on this particular step, you can go, oh, that's a song of degree. Or if it's in the action, let's just say we walked in as a congregation or a choir walked in and we were singing as we came in and we continued to sing as we were going up, entering into the choir loft here, the chancel choir loft, we'd be singing the whole way as we go. Those would be a song of goings up. Makes sense, right? So it's something in the title about this. Now, some people have gone, well, why do you have to be so physical and tactile and all that stuff? Well, because that's the way we're made to begin with. Some people want to reduce this to the raw idea of going up, that I'm just lifting my heart or my soul up to the Lord. That's in there too. Here are the four usages. Some suggestions. It has been pointed out that there were 15 steps going up to the temple. 15 steps going up to the temple. I have not found that in the Old Testament. This is, by the way, a common way that these psalms might have been used. So, if you could imagine 15 steps, the very first step could have been Psalm 120. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and He heard me. Okay? The next step would have been Psalm 121, 122, 123. You get the idea. The idea was, and by the way, among the Old Testament Levites, there were a particular group of Levites given to the music, you could say in our current terminology, the music ministry or the music work of the church. And so these Levites would have been leading the congregation in song. And so the Levitical priests would be there, and they'd be singing a particular psalm on a particular step. So it would be the 15 steps up to the temple. Remember, it's not that anybody that went to worship, you didn't just walk into the temple. People didn't walk into the temple. That's what the Levites did. So some people have said that's how they were used. That's why is there 15? Okay. That idea picks up on the word ascent or degree. That's one idea. Here's another idea. And this could be both, this is physical as well as the kind of the soulish idea of entering the presence of the Lord. This idea is more general. It's for priest and people. It's derived from the word translated goings up. Goings up. These are songs of goings up in the sense that I or we are going up from our low place to approach the Lord, both physically and spiritually, which should be together. Let me give you an idea. Psalm 121, 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? I will lift up my eyes to the hills. All right? Psalm 122, verse 4. Where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord to the testimony. The tribes are going up. The various families of Israel are going up. Psalm 123, 1. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. All right? We enter the presence of the Lord and we think of that as a going up. Why? Because we are to be humbled to go into the Lord's presence. Matter of fact, Psalm 130, which I used today during our assurance of pardon, says this, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Out of the depths I have cried to you. Psalm 131, O Lord, and you can picture this, combine it, go down low. Psalm 131, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor were things too profound for me. There's a humility to that we're to possess. There's much that I don't know. There's much that we don't know. And when we're coming into the presence of the Lord, that's the right position. So you can imagine yourself praying that on your knees. So you can get the idea. entering. That's the second idea. So the first one is 15 steps, ascending. The second one is entering the presence of the Lord. Here's another idea. Some people have suggested that this is referring to a return from exile. A return, and you remember that God's people, because of sin in the Old Covenant, had a change of address. God says, you're no longer going to stay in the land. I'm going to send you out among the nations, which is where you should have gone in the first place. You should have gone out among the Goyim. But because of your sin, I'm going to send you there. And so God's people were sent out into exile. And then when they were blessed with a release from that slavery of exile and allowed to go back into the land, a return from exile, they would be saying, we get to go back up to Jerusalem. Why up? Jerusalem is up in elevation. So no matter where you, if you travel from Emmaus to Jerusalem, you're going up, elevation-wise. I'm going to go on up. Places higher. We're going to go to Colorado. We're going to go up. We're going to go up. You're going to go to Death Valley in California. You're going to go down. And you're going to have a lot of people ask you, why are you going there? So, so some people think that these are in reference to a return from exile. Where does that come from? Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then they said among the nations. So you can get that idea. All right? Fourth, they are considered, and this seems to be the most common view of them today, they are considered traveling songs for the festivals of worship. Now I've got a question for you. How many of you have ever taken a road trip as a family? Either now with your family or when you were a wee child with your family. Come on. How many of you have a particular playlist that you like to play music-wise when you're traveling? Okay, I see that hand. I see some children raising their hand. How many of your parents like your playlist? Where am I going with it? Oh, the point is, most of us, by the way, some people can't even travel without music going. Some people have accused me of traveling like a monk in solitude, because I'm, you know, just quiet. I do both, by the way. Just do both. Anyway, some people have considered these 15 Psalms of Ascent to be traveling songs for the festivals of worship. And this makes a lot of sense. Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. That's new and distinctive. We don't live here. We are scattered all over the land. And I was glad when they said, hey, let's go to the house of the Lord. And our feet are standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. You're standing there because you don't live there. Jerusalem is built. It's like a city, compact. It's together. This is the place where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel. Why do we do this? To give thanks to the name of our Lord. And in our Old Testament readings today from Exodus 23 and Deuteronomy 16, you saw that the males were required three times a year to go up to Jerusalem. The whole family was welcome, but the males were required to go. They were required to go for the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was always coupled with Passover. And then weeks later, the Festival of Weeks, which was Pentecost. And then for the harvest, there was also the Festival of Booths. They were required to go up there for those three festivals. What did they do? And in our gospel reading today, according to the custom of the yearly Unleavened Bread Passover Festival, Jesus' family went to Jerusalem. That's when he was 12. He stayed back in the temple precincts, asking questions, answering questions. Pretty common. What did they do when they were traveling? They just, quiet. Shh. I don't want to hear anything out of you. Hey, that's enough. Hold it down. Consider this. Three times a year, at least the males, and you can see, imagine dad with his sons, or the whole family. That's quite a commitment. You know, sometimes we mollygrub about, I got to work. This is a commitment to go and worship in a festival environment. And by the way, all of those festivals are fulfilled in Christ. By the way, I love what King David said when he bought that hill that belonged to Araunah the Jebusite, 2 Samuel 24. He said, I'm going to pay for the oxen, for the sacrifice. I'm going to pay for the hill. Araunah saying, no, I'm going to give it to you, king. He says, no, I refuse to worship God with that which costs me nothing. I don't mind the cost. Look what he gave. Imagine, though, the sacrifice of time, leaving your home, leaving your bed. I thought it was tough going to Gloria Sancta, sleeping on that bunk. It was costly and it took time and this required commitment. What would they have done on their journey? And in this sense, these psalms, as well as the entire songbook of the Psalter, would have been considered songs for the road or songs for the journey. And remember, as Jerusalem was up by way of elevation, these would have been goings up songs. So the people of God are doing this. They are anticipating distinctive times of worship, special times of fellowship. And they're going there as part of who they are. And while on the way, they are reminding themselves together, sometimes just as a family, singing the song. Sometimes with a number of families. Sometimes with a whole group of people. They're singing about who they are, who they're supposed to be, and what they get to do. Huh, what a great way to be trained, catechized. What a great way to be trained. They're preparing themselves to meet the Lord. And it's interesting, next week, we're going to begin with Psalm 120. My tongue, my sin, my song. Why do we begin there? Imagine gathering with your family and say, you know what, the first song out of our mouth is going to be about our tongues. I'm getting ready to go meet the Lord. I'm getting ready to go be with God's people. So, there we are. There's somehow they've been used. Okay, 15 steps. Entering the presence of the Lord, a return from exile, or songs for the road, festival road songs. These are all possible old covenant usages. What if we allowed that, granted that, said, you know what, I don't know. I've got some learned ignorance here. I don't need to know that. I'm not sure. But what if we could recognize that all of those senses could be expanded and fulfilled and still usable now in the new covenant? 15 steps. Do you know that according to Hebrews chapter 8, we are being led in worship by Jesus? He is our liturgy leader. Greek word, liturgos, where we get the word liturgy. Jesus is our ministry leader. And He is leading us up by His welcome, by His cleansing, by His shaping word, and by communion, and then sending us back on our journey. But He's leading us up. That's fascinating. And what is He leading us up to? The presence of the Lord. Because everyone, whether they're of our tradition or some other Christian tradition, everyone knows that they're not welcome in the presence of a holy God when they're sitting there loving their sin. So when the Lord welcomes us, He then cleanses us. Everyone knows that. So to come into the presence of the Lord, there needs to be a cleansing that goes on. So we have the 15 steps, and we have an approach to the presence of the Lord. That's interesting. It's possible that all of these usages come together. Well, it's interesting. When the Lord cleanses us from our sin, we realize that we are those who are no longer enslaved to our sin. There's a freedom from slavery, a release from captivity, a release from exile. That's right. And last of all, we are those who are to sing. Bless you. We are those who are to sing. Singing, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So as we go through this life, and as you come here week after week, and at other times when we have special training times of singing, or when choirs gather, there's training because we're being catechized in the ways of the Lord as we are all together on a journey of maturity. Now, I know there's the term faith journey can be like covered up with bad milk and used in a lame way. I know that. It's used that way all over the place. How's your faith journey going? But I want to stop being so critical of what people say and go, you know what? I know what they mean. Stop seeking to misunderstand everybody. You know what? Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, they'll speak to us about our faith journey. How are you doing on the path of maturity? Godliness. We are those who are traveling, growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are on a journey. All right, let me summarize this right now, and here we go. This is it. I'm going to conclude. I'm going to summarize these psalms of ascent, these psalms of degrees, these psalms of goings up, and say this. They are the songs, the prayers of disciples, individually and together. Some of them are in the singular. Some of them are in the plural. These are the songs of disciples, individually and together, as we follow our Lord. Some of them you're going to look at and go, well, I thought we already dealt with sin. And now another psalm later on deals with sin again. It's because that's true of our lives. I dealt with sin this morning. I dealt with sin again this afternoon. And I'll likely be dealing with sin again this evening. Oh, and Tuesday. And Wednesday. As I continue on. Because that's part of the journey. So, what are some of the things we're going to hear? And here's the conclusion today. As we look ahead, and you know, right now the plan is I'm probably going to stop this at the first Sunday of Lent and deal with something else, unless I'm just too compelled to continue here. But here's where it's going. Psalm 120, our tongues, our speech, the sinful slander of others. We've got to deal with that. Psalm 121, we will seek help. We need it. Psalm 122, we need guiding. We need the recalibration, the recalibrating reality of regular worship. Psalm 123, we need to be reminded of our Lord's mercy, especially when we are mocked. Psalm 124, we all need to be assured of our Lord's protection. Psalm 125, where does assurance come from? Psalm 126, renewal. Psalm 127, that we work, and that underneath, and because we do this, and underneath our work, and above our work, it's because our Lord is working within us. Psalm 128, our homes and our children. 129, the ongoing reality of affliction. You're always going to get your way. Psalm 130, the ongoing reality of the depths of our sin. You know what? Just like Eustace, we thought that we could peel some of that skin off, but Aslan wants to dig deeper, and it'll hurt Bully-O. We'll dig a little bit. Oh, nasty. Psalm 130, wait a minute, there's depths to your sin. Psalm 131, to hear the call to trust in the Lord again. 132, examples of the Lord's faithfulness throughout the ages. And we know what we're called to do. Look around. Look around. We can be so petty and nasty and snarky. We can go, rah, rah, rah. Look around at the Lord's faith, even as was prayed today. The Lord's been faithful through the ages. 133, the call to unity. Yes, even when it's difficult. Everybody goes, I want unity when it's easy. Yeah. 134, the honor and the privilege of being called a servant of the Lord. There, the Psalms of Ascent, the Psalms of Degrees, the Songs of Goings Up. much that is before us. And this, we must trust the Lord to make His Word alive, living, and active in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your calling, Your election of us. We long to make our calling and election sure. Thank You for Your guidance. Thank You for the songbook. Thank You for the discipleship manual. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and ready feet to follow what You have placed before us. We pray this not for the honor of our name, but for the honor of Your name. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, and all of God's children said, Amen.